Good morning. Pastor Ron is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this morning. He's meeting with several leaders of NRP. So we want to pray for him, bless him, you know, as he bless others of what God has been giving him. Amen. I'm excited about this morning. Before I share, I have something to share with you before I start with the word. You know, there is this thing called State of the Union. It's when the President of the United States come and address the nation about the state of our nation. And you see the Congress is there, and the media is there. Everybody's talking about his message. But I've always been fascinated about one particular guy, one particular job, and I don't know his name. I don't know his title. So for the sake of the story, we're gonna call him Brother Bob. So what I like about this Brother Bob's job is that he's the one that introduced the President of the United States. He comes through the aisle, right, and yell with the top of his lung, "Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States." Then the President comes, everybody's say, and I start looking at that, I said, I would like to have that job for one night. What would I do if I have that job? I will have an attitude with it. I probably show up with white sneakers in case any ministry needs to be done. And I probably will have my own beat coming through that aisle. Smoke coming out of it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's my moment, because nothing starts until Brother Bob says so. So that's the job that I would like to have, because nothing will start. I mean, the President will not even show up until I say so. So I'm going to have an attitude with it, right? I'm going to be walking, you know, with an attitude, saying hi to everybody, you know what I mean? Stretching myself. See? And then I will go, "Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States." I will be fired. I mean, I get it. That will be the last time that I will be performing in the State of the Union. But then I start thinking about that and say, you know what? We do have the best job in the world. Because you and I get to introduce someone greater. Someone greater. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the bright morning star. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And maybe nobody knows our names. Maybe nobody knows what we do, but we have the privilege to introduce the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to this world. Now that is a job. So I wanted to share my heart before the message. Now, I have called this message God in the Midst of Chaos. Now, there is no secret we are in an election year. Historically, it's pretty chaotic. But I want to encourage you that it doesn't matter what you go through, what kind of chaos you go through, We must keep our eyes on the prize. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, regardless of anything that may come our way. Chaos happens. It's part of life. And as we see our world today with wars and rumors of war, we understand that that's happening. Now, this particular word is very close to my heart because it was born in a time where me, my family, and the whole world was going through a chaos in 2020. You know, 2020 was the year of COVID. It was a lot of chaos. And personally, as a family, it was chaotic because we moved from Illinois to Indiana in the summer of 2019. So there was a lot of transition happening with us. Part of the reason we came to Indiana was because of the marketplace. So I was affiliated with a major company in the U.S. and I always wanted to have my own business. And because of that, I had the opportunity to move to Crown Point and start a business. That's how I got to this place. Since the first time we arrived in this church, we knew that God has brought us to this place. We knew that God had a purpose with us being here. However, things are going to start happening that will say the opposite of that. We move into in the summer. I start my business in September of 2019. At the time, the company had a rule of 1 year contract first. So I had 1 year, and after that year, the company was going to decide whether renew my contract or let me go. So all this happening at the same time, my first year happens to be also the COVID year, so it's unprecedented. There are many things happening at the same time. I remember in August of 2020, my whole staff got sick with COVID. So they're all out. And it was a Friday afternoon, and my wife and I, which by the way, she was working with me, we were the last two to get tested, and suddenly that same Friday, we received the news that we're also with COVID. Many questions are arising because during chaos, there is a lot of questions, there is a lot of voices that arise, and we have to learn to quiet the voices that are not coming from God. Voices of weariness, voices of fear, voices of lack of faith. There is a lot of voices that are rising in that moment, and we have to learn to quiet them, because the last thing that I want to hear is somebody saying fear when I need to hear God saying what He has for me. So we were in the midst of this, and that same day that we received that news, I get a call from corporate saying, "I'm sorry, David, but the company has decided not to renew your contract. You have a month to close your office." Now I have my staff, so it's painful enough because now you have to let them go. But more painful is to, how do you tell your wife she's fired? Wow. Now that is a tough conversation to have. I practice it in the bathroom. Honey, I love you, you're fired. No, that's too harsh, too tough. Not good. So that was a difficult conversation to have. Now we have no job. We don't know what we are going to do. Now, this happened almost 5 years ago. So the fact that I'm in front of you today is a testimony that God is faithful. The fact that I'm here, my family's here, that we didn't go back, that we stayed in the midst of everything, is a testimony of how good God is. So he came, he ministered to us. He met our need for the first 2 years that were hard, but he was there. But it was in that middle of that situation where God starts speaking to my spirit and the Spirit of God start ministering this word that I'm sharing with you this morning. See, there is two things that can happen when you are in the midst of chaos. Number one, you can lose faith. That's what the enemy wants. You see, what happened is when I'm in the middle of chaos, so many voices around me. And the enemy tries to convince me to stop looking at God and stop trusting in God and start trusting myself. The problem with that strategy is that when I look myself away from God, I do not like what I see. It is not a pretty picture at all. What happened is I am so confused and I'm trying to defend myself against everything that is coming against me that I'm going to do react and act according to my feelings and my emotions alone. The book of Galatians chapter 5 talks about this, saying that there is a difference between walking in the Spirit and the fruit that that produces and the works of the flesh. Walking, reacting in my own feelings and emotions produce works of the flesh. And if you look at that list, it's not a pretty picture. It's not. But that's where we are. The foundation of our faith is being shaken. We're going through something. It is real. What God wants to do is actually go there to the fundamentals of your faith, but not to kill you, but to strengthen you. He wants to go to that foundation and start tweaking here and tweaking there, and reinforcement comes because your foundation of your faith has to be strong in order for your building to stand against anything that comes against you. But it feels, it hurts. He hurts. So the Lord gave me three principles to remind myself that I needed to remember during this time. Number one, I needed a reminder of who God is. Who God is. We're talking about His essence. His character, what motivates Him. We're talking about a relationship with Him. Why? Because depending on how you perceive God, is how you're going to relate to Him. In the religion of Islam, God cannot be a father to no one. Did you know that? God, Allah, their God, cannot be a father in any way. So the way they relate to Him is as a slave of servant. In Christ, we have a son and father relationship. Thank God for Jesus Christ that made us children of God. It is a big difference, because how I perceive Him, that's how I'm going to relate to Him. So if I perceive Him as a father and I know He's a father, I'm going to approach Him as a son. Number two, I needed a reminder of what God has done. First, who He is. Number two, what He has done. I'm talking about the power of His Spirit. Historically, everything He has done since the beginning of time, the power of the Spirit of God to change, to create, everything about His power. And it's important for me to know and for you and I to remember what He has done, because when I remember what He has done, it gives me hope to know of what He's capable of doing, what He can do in the future. Because I know what He has done. I know the power of the past. So now I can expect something in the future. Number three, I needed a reminder of the Word of God, what He has said. See, the Word of God is forever. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Isaiah 55, verse 11, "It is same with my word. I send it out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Do you know also that Jesus is called the Word of God? In John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning it was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That same Word became flesh and dwell among us." He is the Word of God. And then another translation for Isaiah 55 says that "my word will not return void until accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished." Do you know that the Word of God was sent to us to accomplish something, and He did not went back to the Father until He accomplished everything He needed to accomplish? He is the Word of God. Now, during the 2020 chaos that we're going through, the way He reminded me these things, He took me back to the beginnings. Like, I'm going to take you to the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3 of your faith, the fundamentals of your faith. So He took me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. The first first verses of the Bible. He couldn't go farther than that. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the safe surface of the waters. Then God says, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. See, I like the first verse. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. This is the first sentence. This is how he introduced himself to us. This is first impression. And the first thing that says is, I created everything. See, it's like he's saying, you know what? Before you come up with all the questions that you have, before you start asking about the meaning of life, and before you start asking about your problems and your issues and how to deal with it, let me make something very clear. I created everything, including you. You see, it is important to know that, because if I have an issue with creation, then I can go to the manufacturer of creation. Because the problem that we're having today is that for every questions we have, we go to the wrong people. We go to so-called experts on earth. They're experts on earth and how we can deal with it, how we can heal it. Really? Where were you when it was created? So if I have a question, I'm going to go to the one who created it. Why do I have to go through all this mess when none of these people ever created anything in the first place? If I have an issue with people, with relationship, I go to the creator of that. God created you and I, not the philosophers. Philosophers, they are experts in relationship. There is one philosopher in the music industry. She says, it's pretty profound. She said, the hater is going to hate, hate, hate. Wow. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. I wish I would have known that before I start relationships. How I'm going to deal with it? Well, all you have to do is shake it off. You cannot make this stuff up. And shake it up again. I'm going to go to the expert. I'm going to go to the creator. He's the one who created us. See, I love verse 2, because after verse 1, then God presented a picture of creation. Of earth. And it was a mess. See, that it says that the earth was full of darkness, it was without order, and it was empty. While the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And that's another person in the triune God. He's hovering. You see, there is one of the definitions of hovering. When you're hovering over someone or something, you're close enough, waiting to intervene. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God is not afraid of your darkness? Is not afraid of your chaos? See, what God is telling us, listen, I understand that you feel that you are in a chaos right now, but the Creator of everything has been dealing with some conditions within creation from the beginning. I am not surprised by your chaos. He's been dealing with this since the beginning. The creation is on a stage right now that is not according to the plan and the design of God Himself. So He needed to do something about that. Because He's not going to allow His creation to stay that way. So the next thing He says, He does, He sent His word, let there be light. Those are the first words God says. But in John chapter 1, we read before that in the beginning, talking about Jesus, it was the Word was with God, the Word was God, everything was created because of Him, right? He is the life of man. The life was the light. So the first word coming from God is, let there be light. Jesus Himself having an encounter with creation from the beginning to fix things up. That's the Jesus you and I serve. It's always been from the beginning, since the beginning, always. So He's fixing things up. He starts putting things in order. He starts delivering us from darkness because it is ironic, but the truth is that because of sin, you and I were in the same condition that Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, without God and because of sin, we become full of darkness, we become without order, and we become empty. So everything from the beginning that God has been trying to do is to fix our condition. He wants to deliver us from darkness. He wants to put order back to us. And He wants to fill us with His Spirit. He has not changed one bit. Not one bit. Now let's go to Mark chapter 4. Verse 35, all the way to 40. See, we know that creation on its own cannot sustain itself. It cannot fix itself in its God intervention for it to do that, right? Now, how many of you know that is when you're going through chaos, it's real? It's a real thing. It's not denial. Faith is not denial. It's real. It's chaos. But I want you to know this story. It's a very known story about Jesus with the disciples on the boat. But I want you to pay attention to this. In verse 35 says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross to the other side of the lake. I want you to remember those words. Because right after that, the disciples and Jesus got into the boat. And immediately a storm came against them. If we read all the way to verse 40, we see that the disciples are in desperation because of what's going on in the moment. The water is getting into the boat. It is real. The storm is real. The chaos is real. They're yelling, and Jesus is sleeping. I love what the disciple says. Jesus, wake up. Don't you care? Don't you care about what I'm going through? Don't you understand my pain? Don't you understand my chaos? Don't you care? Let me tell you something. Silence is not the same as lack of care. It's not. But the enemy wants us to believe that. He wants you to believe that God doesn't care about your chaos. See, the same God that created everything, the same God that has been working with creation from the beginning, that God doesn't care? That's what the enemy is telling you. He doesn't care. He doesn't understand. But I want you to pay attention because Jesus says something very important before they got into the boat. He said, let us cross to the other side. This was not just any words. These were prophetic words. He's telling you, listen, I'm going with you and we are going to get to the other side. It does not matter what we go through until we get there. The bottom line is, I am the Word, says Jesus, and I said, we are going to get through the other side. We're going to get through the other side because He says so. And not only that, he's including himself in the boat. So the desperation comes. And I get it. We all been there. But the fact is, they forgot what he said. If they would have remembered the words that when he said, let us cross to the other side, they would have been sleeping as well. Because it's not that Jesus didn't care. He was sleeping because maybe he was resting on his own word. Maybe Peter, John, Matthew, maybe he was just resting on his own word that he already gave in the beginning. That is strong enough to carry me onto the other side, regardless of the chaos, regardless of the storm. It does not matter what we go through. If he's in the boat and if he said we're crossing, we are crossing to the other side. We are crossing to the other side. Stand with me. Man, so much in my heart. I'm going to be praying for you, but I want to leave you with this promise. This promise is in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, all the way to 39. But look what verse 35 says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Now look at verse 38, because this is our victory, church. This is what makes us overcomers. This is verse 38. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the skies above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's my truth. In the midst of chaos, that's what I hold on to. Even in the midst of silence, because I know that for those that have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing plus nothing is nothing. You lost your job, nothing. You lost your business, nothing. You lost a family member, nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So I'm going to have our leaders to please start coming. And if you need prayer, you please come. But I want to leave you with this. Jesus came to set us free, to put order, and to fill us with His Spirit. I don't know what your chaos is, but I know who can fix it. His name is Jesus. And if you don't know Him tonight, today is the day for you to know Him. If you don't have a relationship with Him, today is the day for you to start one. Because there is nothing more important than to have Him in the boat with you. So Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your presence in this place. I thank You that even in the midst of chaos, You're with us. You reveal Yourself to us. And I thank You that nothing can separate us from Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, please come.